KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump has set a new timeline for any potential U.S. action on Iran. The White House says the president will make a decision within the next 2 weeks. ABC's Mary Bruce.
All of this is coming as European leaders are expecting to meet with the Iranians in Geneva. One senior official telling us the president hopes this two-week timeline will, quote, give the Iranians some room to come to their senses. But make no mistake, the president still has this high-stakes decision to make, and he's now given himself a deadline to make it.
Israel says it struck dozens of military targets in Tehran and around Iran, including nuclear and military production sites. And more missiles coming from Iran are breaking through Israel's defenses. One hit a hospital, causing extensive damage. An appeals court Thursday allowing President Trump to keep control of National Guard troops he deployed to Los Angeles following protests over immigration raids. The Indiana Pacers forcing a Game 7 in the NBA Finals, beating the Oklahoma City Thunder 108-91. This is ABC News. A little girl's life is saved after a shark attack near Tampa.
I was just snorkeling, then I went up to breathe, and then something hard bit me.
That something, says 9-year-old Leah Lindell, was a shark trying to take her away right in front of her mother.
She was about 3 to 4 feet away from me.
She describes seeing the fling of her daughter's arm.
And it was like almost completely gone.
Doctors got to work in less than an hour. Surgeon Alfred Hess crediting the nature of the bite.
The shark's teeth are so sharp that the cut through the wrist is clean.
Leah's parents praise the nearby construction crew for getting Leah's arm in a tourniquet. Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
The Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders say they're getting a 400% raise after years battling for a pay hike. The pay increase from $200 to $400 per game following a lawsuit settlement in 2019. They say this raise is four times that amount. One of the veteran cheerleaders calling it life-changing. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. A great day today at Wrigley Field where the wind was blowing out and the Brewers taking advantage. An 8-7 win from Milwaukee over the Cubs at the friendly confines. Three home runs today by the crew. Rhys Hoskins, Caleb Durbin, and Isaac Collins getting his fourth home run of the season. Drama in the ninth. Closer Trevor McGill on the mound and some very poor calls on some pitches that should have been called strikes. Pat Murphy visibly upset from the dugout. McGill managed to get out of the inning with one strikeout and getting the Cubs' Seiya Suzuki to hit into a double play. Trevor McGill with his 16th save of the season. Pat Murphy after the win.
Great opportunity for our young guys to then face the great Cubs team coming back and breathing down our necks right to the very end. So it gets pretty emotional.
What did you think of the way Trevor specifically responded?
I thought Trevor's been great, man. This guy's underrated. Trevor's been great.
Up next, the Brewers head to Minnesota for a weekend series against the Twins with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly cloudy in the overnight and a few showers and storms out there. Light winds and morning lows in the upper 50s. On Friday, showers and storms, especially before lunchtime, some severe, mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 70s. Right now, it's 64.
Pete Schwabe,
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Quinn Hurley to discuss the Green Bay Tattoo Festival. Chris Ruckdashel joins me to talk about Muskie Fest in Hayward. And Terry Barr is back from vacation for Barman Friday. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wobb.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kelly Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is back tomorrow, Free Ticket Fridays. Your chance to pick up a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats. You have five chances starting tomorrow with Pat Kreitlow. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9. And then an hour show from 9 to 11. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4. And Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. Tomorrow, each of us will have a keyword for you to text in via the Civic Media app only.
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 So if you don't have it yet, download it. It's free. And it's super easy. It's absolutely free.
Yeah.
And it's really a great app, and we're updating it all the time, and you can call and text directly from the app, depending upon which radio station you're listening to across the state. Say you're listening in Hayward on WBZH.
Mm-hmm. You can also leave a voice note.
You can leave a voice note, yes. Sharky from Racine just left us a voice note.
That's very, very nice.
Thank you for that, Sharky.
And also remember, in the contest, not only do you have to use the Civic Media app, but you also have to spell the word correctly.
Spelling counts in this game. So join us tomorrow. Five chances for you to pick up a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. It's our Free Ticket Fridays, and it is back tomorrow. Happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth.
Happy Juneteenth. Today is the Juneteenth holiday. Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration is one of the biggest and longest running in the country.
Another reason why Wisconsin is awesome.
Yep, absolutely. And today there's a parade that they're having in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. They will honor Anna Mae Robertson at today's Juneteenth parade in Milwaukee. She's a 101-year-old World War II veteran.
Nice.
And a member of the historic 6888.
We heard about the 6888 last year.
Tyler Perry came out with a movie about him.
But Derek Mosley came in the show. We have not had him on in a spell.
In too long.
And he spoke about the 6888 and their impact on the war, America, and just culture in general, and being, you know, as we were talking about earlier with Jim Santel, they are part of the fabric of our history, and they are what makes America, America. So,
the 6888, known as the 6888, was the only all-black, all-female battalion sent overseas during World War II. Their mission was to sort and deliver millions of backlogged letters to U.S. troops, lifting morale by reconnecting soldiers with their loved ones at home. And again, Tyler Perry had a recent film about this 6888. Be something good for all of us to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and again, in case you were confused about the origins of Juneteenth, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until 1865
yeah.
that the news that the slaves had been freed reached everybody. Galveston, Texas was the last place, right?
I believe that's
accurate.
Yeah, I'm not, but and the historically the Emancipation Proclamation was very, very good for many things. It is a little factually inaccurate to say that it freed enslaved people. It freed them in the Confederate states, but in free states, that's a little bit more murky. And I don't mean to be a no funner, but I think it's important to understand the full impact of the history. But this is a very, very, very important date, and it's been celebrated for a very long time.
Very long time. And again, Milwaukee has a long, long history of celebrating Juneteenth. And now it's pretty great in conjunction with Summerfest, which is getting underway today.
No, it's it can't be. It's February, isn't it?
The big gig. The programming begins after the annual Juneteenth parade and festival on Dr. Martin Luther King Drive in Milwaukee, starting at 6 o'clock tonight. The Summerfest grounds will feature live performances and cultural programming to celebrate Juneteenth. Entry is just $19 after 6 o'clock.
That's amazing.
That is pretty great.
Oh, you're going to make me go to Summerfest.
The collaboration between this group and Summerfest reflects how far the holiday has come. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is great.
Yes.
This is great. Yeah. The celebration today and tonight, not the only thing that's happening to mark Juneteenth. Summerfest is also hosting a taste of Juneteenth on Saturday. So you can check out music, food, and vendors spotlighting Black culture. And tomorrow, June 20th, families can take advantage of Shore West Children's Fest Day. From noon to 3 p.m., everyone entering during that window, get in free. Pretty nice.
So I have a question for you, Jane.
Sure.
Are you going to Summerfest this year?
I will not be going to Summerfest this year.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Summerfest in a number of years.
In years.
It's been some years. But let me explain to you why.
Oh, there's a story.
There's a reason why.
Yeah.
For, I would say, 20 years, 25 years of my career.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I worked every single day of Summerfest in a row. Back in the days when it was 12 days in a row.
But you weren't there all day. You were there for your shift.
No, but I would do my show in the morning, and then I would go work at Summerfest.
Oh, I thought you meant you would be like live from Summerfest.
No.
So wait, okay, I'm sorry, back up here. Okay, so you would do your show in studio.
In studio, because it was early mornings and Summerfest wasn't open yet at that point.
Why would you,
Then we'd go and we'd introduce the openers, or we'd introduce the comics on the comedy stage.
Oh man, back in that day. Whoa.
Oh yeah.
I remember going to those shows.
Which was great, but again, you do that enough years in a row and some of the glow goes away.
Absolutely.
I would say.
Yeah, I can imagine. Oh my gosh. And you were just there until like close?
Well, I would have to wait around until I introduced the comics, and then once I did that part of it, then I could leave because I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that is my excuse. I put in my time at the big gig. I fested plenty.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm not going to Summerfest because I'm tired. I'm a tired boy. I might go this year on a Thursday because
it's always better on the weekdays. I think it's not quite so crowded.
Yeah, exactly. I would much rather go in there. But there's also some great bands coming through, and they've really done a great job, in my opinion. And some people might think that the bands have always been good, and yeah, but they really have freshened up the acts coming through. Like, and it's no longer just like, hey, I'm going to go with my dad to see this cover band. Awesome. So yeah, I'm gonna check out the list again and see who's coming through and see maybe take a Thursday evening and check it out.
Nothing makes me feel older, than looking at the list of entertainment coming to Summerfest.
I don't know about Calvin. I don't know if you're going to be going to Summerfest this year. Will you?
Probably not.
Okay. Have you
ever been to Summerfest?
I've been once.
And that was enough.
No, I mean, I had fun and I liked it. It's It's more so getting down there than it is.
It's a pain.
Yeah.
Well, it's also a pain. It's also a haul for really both Calvin and I. We live a little bit further away from Summerfest grounds.
True.
But there is a pure, I don't know what, 30s, 40s feeling you have of joy. And you're like, I'm going to go see that band. They're playing at 4. I'll be home by 8.
See, we're not as far apart as it seems.
Oh, absolutely not. And I'm
all about the big headliner shows at 4 o'clock.
And I have been living this life for about 10 plus years now where, you know, we go to your first concert and the act comes out and you're like, yay. And then everyone sits down. You're like, we get to do this.
And we're all going to sit down during the show.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. The taste of Juneteenth sounds really.
Doesn't that sound good? When we have had Derek Mosley on in the past, he's a big foodie.
Oh my gosh!
And he's talked about some of the great. What a great way to be exposed to just different cuisine. I think it's fabulous.
I absolutely agree. And I mean, honestly, following Derek Mosley just for the food takes is amazing.
It's worth it.
But he also just posts such joyous things. He is still a judge and he still does weddings all the time.
He does.
He is the head of the Lubar Center. We should give some context. He is the head of the Lubar Center
at
Marquette Law School. And they put on programming every single month with great things going on. I'm going to reach out to have him on the show because he needs to be on here. Just talk to us. But also every February for Black History Month, he has wonderful, wonderful stories and pieces of history about important, often overlooked, unknown people in Absolutely. Black history. At least I should say to mainstream America.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. Casper on the text line says, people standing on the benches at Summerfest drives me crazy. I don't want to have to stand at a tiny bench for an hour and a half to see the band I came to see.
An hour and a half? Then
that's one long show.
When you're, I have to believe that anyone who went to Summerfest in their teens and early 20s has an experience of, we're going to go see this band, whatever. Like in my experience, it was the Flaming Lips. We went to go see the Flaming Lips and they were headlining. We got there at opening and got our seats.
Oh,
and we sat there
and
for hours.
Camped there.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. That was a wild, crazy show that night.
That was kind of a rite of passage, though.
Yeah,
back in the day,
your knees are fine. You have energy. Your patience level is so high because you're going to see this band you love.
Yes, you're now, 22.
Now I'd be like, can I pay someone to sit there for me, and then I'll come and take the seat? Thank you.
That could always get a little contentious too. The saving of the picnic tables.
I wasn't going to say it, but that Flaming Lips show that I went to go see at Summerfest was one of the most unhinged shows up. And if you know that band, they're about fun, peace, love, family, just good time. I saw a man threaten to beat a woman up over seat occupation. Like, he just got in her face. I'm like, oh, am I going to watch a guy get arrested right now? Nothing happened, but I was just like, they're just chairs. Be okay here.
Chill.
Summerfest, I think that's another reason why, is that people who have been overserved are not the best people to be around.
I think that's a very good point. Yeah. No matter where you are.
Yeah.
Summerfest or not.
Fair point.
Yeah. No matter where you are, people who have overindulged just don't bring a whole lot to the party.
Yeah, no doubt.
Again, have a wonderful, wonderful Juneteenth. If you are celebrating, don't forget that special event going on in the Summerfest grounds starts at 6 o'clock tonight. Entry just $19. After 6 p.m., and the weather right now is looking pretty good, too. So
We're going to talk to Brittany in a little bit, and it's going to get hot. But also, if you're going to Juneteenth celebrations or Summerfest,
take some pictures
and email them to us. Text them to us. Jane says at civicmedia.us, we'd love to see the fun time that you are having while you're out and about.
Be careful if you're doing table dancing. I say this from experience.
Oh, really, Jane? Oh, darn. We have to go to break soon.
Are we running out of time?
I was promised a table dancing story at Summerfest.
Yeah, it was the time when I, speaking of being overserved, might have had a little too much. I was doing a great triple flip with a sow cow, and I fell off the picnic table, and I landed on the bench. That didn't go so well. Yeah, when I tried to impress the doctor with my dance moves, he was like, you're an idiot. And he was right. Okay, when we return, Brittany Merlot will be here. We're going to have a little weather and just a little wine. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is good again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream as well on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us once a week for a little weather and wine. Civic Media meteorologist, multi-award winner, Brittany Merlot is here. Good morning, my friend. How are things in Wausau today?
Good morning. Pretty decent. We're starting to get a little bit cloudy. We've got a little bit of rain that wants to roll through our area, but it's pretty much the only spot in the state that's about to rain.
It's been interesting. Yeah, it's been interesting watching some of the rain patterns where some parts have gotten hit really, really hard and others just a little bit of a kiss. But I know that we're seeing a lot of warnings already about this weekend and how hot it's going to be.
Yes, we've got a couple of different things going on. Before we even get to the heat, we've got severe weather potential. Then we've got the heat moving in for the weekend, and then more severe weather after the weekend. So what's happening is we have this front that's kind of sitting over northern Wisconsin right now, and that's going to continue to send chances of showers and storms, especially this afternoon, increasing into tonight. And then it could turn into a mesoscale convective system, which is a big storm that rolls through the state and could hit everyone tomorrow morning. So
not a mesoscale convection system.
No.
Right? MCS. Now you guys are cool. Now you know the loop. Spread the word. MCS might come.
Oh, no.
That's a mesoscale convective. Nope.
Convective system.
Thank you. Oh, sure. There's Jane.
No,
you
no
got
problem.
It.
No
you
problem.
Got it. Yeah. So
is that,
that moves through.
Is that the heat dome that I've seen mentioned?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. Yep. So then that starts to lift up. That'll kick on out of here as we go into the weekend. The dangerous heat follows. I mean, it is going to be pulling in this humidity that we have not felt yet this year. Dew points are going to be in the mid to upper 70s.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and that means it's going to be a heavy, wet, moist air where just kind of, you know, you kind of feel claustrophobic. The sweat doesn't really evaporate off you very fast, and you can warm up pretty quickly. And temperatures, 90, 95 degrees statewide. Wow. Now, southern areas, you've hit the 80s, mid-80s, upper 80s quite often. Mm-hmm. Up north, not so much. So this is really going to be a shock to a lot of our systems.
It's going
to
be 90 degrees in northern Wisconsin?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Mid-90s, too, in northern Wisconsin. Western and northwestern Wisconsin are really, really going to heat up. Actually, we're staying a little bit cooler by Lake Michigan and along that state line compared to the rest of the state.
I can't remember if it was Monday or Tuesday, but that feeling when you walk out of your house and you and it's morning and you're expecting, even if it's like that cool feeling of morning, and when it's hotter, you're like, oh, this is coming. You're like, this doesn't feel good. I got to turn my air conditioning on my car.
You can just feel the moisture in the air.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's like, it's going to be one of those weekends where you step outside and you're going to start sweating pretty much immediately. So ladies, don't do your makeup. Don't do any of that. The hair will curl and frizz, which is I'm rocking the curly hair already. Just, you know.
Nothing. You may as well embrace it, right, Brittany?
Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it.
Tony on the live stream just says, I don't like it.
Hey, it's summer weather. It's beach weather. True. It's get in the lake weather.
A good reminder, though, again, especially for this weekend, and if you're going to be seeing the 90s, mid-90s in areas where you are not used to it, please keep an eye out for elderly neighbors and elderly people in your neighborhood, and also for your pets. This is not going to be the weekend to take your dog along as you go run errands. Yeah. I used to do that when my dog was alive, but anytime it was over 75, it just the insides of cars heat up so fastly. It's really dangerous.
Even the concrete, the asphalt, I was looking it up. 95 degree temperatures, that concrete's going to be 100 to 140 degrees. The asphalt's going to be about 140 to 155 degrees. So your pet's paws walking on them, if they're walking fast, they're probably burning.
Yeah, those pads can burn.
You know, what I love about this time of year is I look at Maybelle and I tell her, he can't go outside, it's too hot. And she goes, I get it. I understand. I'll just be very calm right now for the rest of the day as I have to be inside all day long. It's the worst. It's like cold or hot, you're trying to protect them, but they don't know what that means.
Yeah. Joe from Superior, listening on WBZH, says it's cooler by Lake Superior. Come to Superior and enjoy our natural air conditioning. But even Superior is going to see some of this hot weather, aren't they?
They are. I know that lake does real well with the natural AC, but it's going to sneak into you, even Superior. I promise you're going to get warm.
And I love that part of that. I love that part of our state, the northern northwestern part of our state. We should go on a road trip.
We should totally go on a road trip, say maybe like next month. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll talk about that.
Pick me up. I want to go.
Done and done.
I'm on the way.
So once this heat gets out of here this weekend, Brittany, then you said that we have more potential for severe weather coming in.
Yep. So the front lifts goes right back through the state. So Monday into Tuesday, we're looking at more strong, severe storms moving through, and then our temperatures moderate, but it's still summer. So it's still going to be warm.
When we talk about moderate, I mean, are we going to be 80s or?
Yeah. 80s, hanging around.
That's better. I'll take that.
I don't know. Yes, absolutely. I told myself I wouldn't do this because it's that notion of you live in Wisconsin. This is what happens. Winter is going to be cold. Summer is going to be hot. And it's just, I feel like, and we just never get like a prolonged spring or a prolonged fall. It's like 20 minutes of spring, then it's hot. 20 minutes of fall, then it's cold and wet. And then cold and cold.
True.
It's one of the joys of living here. It's one of our Wisconsin.
You and I have different definitions of the word joy.
Brittany Merlot joins us once a week to talk a little weather and wine. Civic media meteorologist. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will see you next Thursday. Stay cool. News is coming up next when we return. The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be here to talk all things sports. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Been freaking me out. Can't make you happy or not.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump has set a new timeline for any potential U.S. action on Iran. The White House says the president will make a decision within the next 2 weeks. ABC's Mary Bruce.
All of this is coming as European leaders are expecting to meet with the Iranians in Geneva. One senior official telling us the president hopes this two-week timeline will, quote, give the Iranians some room to come to their senses. But make no mistake, the president still has this high-stakes decision to make, and he's now given himself a deadline to make it.
Israel says it struck dozens of military targets in Tehran and around Iran, including nuclear and military production sites. And more missiles coming from Iran are breaking through Israel's defenses. One hit a hospital, causing extensive damage. An appeals court Thursday allowing President Trump to keep control of National Guard troops he deployed to Los Angeles following protests over immigration raids. The Indiana Pacers forcing a Game 7 in the NBA Finals, beating the Oklahoma City Thunder 108-91. This is ABC News.
The Brewers win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. A great day today at Wrigley Field, where the wind was blowing out and the Brewers taking advantage. An 8-7 win from Milwaukee over the Cubs at the friendly confines. Three home runs today by the crew. Rhys Hoskins, Caleb Durbin, and Isaac Collins getting his fourth home run of the season. Drama in the ninth. Closer Trevor McGill on the mound and some very poor calls on some pitches that should have been called strikes. Pat Murphy visibly upset from the dugout. McGill managed to get out of the inning with one strikeout and getting the Cubs' Seiya Suzuki to hit into a double play. Trevor McGill with his 16th save of the season. Pat Murphy after the win.
Great opportunity for our young guys to then face the great Cubs team coming back and breathing down our necks right to the very end. So it gets pretty emotional.
What did you think of the way Trevor specifically responded?
I thought Trevor's been great, man. This guy's underrated. Trevor's been great.
Up next, the Brewers head to Minnesota for a weekend series against the Twins with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. No superhero movie will go into production without a finished script. It sounds like a no-brainer, but it had to be said. That is a declaration in the DC Universe by CEO James Gunn. Gunn says the movie industry is dying due to this very practice. Gunn, who's also made movies at Marvel Cinemas, says they are guilty of it too. The Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy director-producer says it's not that people don't want to see movies, it's just that studios make unfinished scripts. Everything starts with the script. Well, NBC tried to make a case for a Night Court reboot, and it was an okay idea for three seasons, but will not see a fourth. The original Night Court ran for nine seasons in the 80s and starred Harry Anderson. Melissa Rauch took over behind the bench for the new iteration and said recently producers shopped the reboot to other networks after NBC canceled it in May. According to Variety, the show premiered in 2023 to excellent ratings and was almost immediately renewed, but the ratings dropped off fast and hard. Tough biz. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Guys, turning mostly cloudy in the overnight. Had a few showers and storms out there. Light winds and boarding lows in the upper 50s. On Friday, showers and storms, especially before lunchtime. Some severe, mostly cloudy. Highs in the upper 70s. Right now, it's 64.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll continue to follow the happenings in the news. And our old friend Brady Ewing, former Badger and NFL player, will be here to discuss NIL. Is it making people soft? Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Maher on Air. Jane Matt Maher, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball starting in just a little bit, 12:45. Our broadcast starts. The crew at the Cubs, after they got rained out yesterday, you can listen on terrestrial radio, WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls near Butternut, and WBZH in Hayward. The Brewers at the Cubs. Our broadcast starts today at 12:45. He is here to talk all things sports, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We are good. We're good. Let's talk a little bit about Jair Alexander.
Poor Jair Alexander. So one of the real Packer star draft picks of recent times, but Jair Alexander has been, I think I usually call them a tricky person on the show. He has been frequently injured, and there's been concern on the team that he was not playing when maybe he could have been playing. It got contentious, and they just let him go. Sought around for trade partners, couldn't find anybody, and let him hit the market, just cut him. And he was signed this week by the Ravens, which is honestly probably a pretty good landing spot for him. The Ravens are the best team in football at creating depth, but because they're good, like the Packers often are, they're not always the greatest at picking stars in the draft because they're picking so late. They love to, they're the best at drafting depth. They're awesome at it. For an injury-prone player who has star potential, it's a great landing spot because they can deal with him missing games better than just about anybody else can. They are the contenders for the title year in and year out, and we will get to see Mr. Alexander again on December 27th, if he's healthy enough to play, when the Packers play the Ravens right around Christmas time.
I want to go back to something that you said, that Jair Alexander may have sat out games where he was actually able to play. That just seems completely counter to what I always felt about football players, is that they would go out there no matter how hurt they were.
I think there was some background bad blood between him and the team, and that he was making some business decisions with his health a couple of times out there. He had some weird instances of, like, inserting himself into the captainship of the team when he wasn't captain for a game, which ticked everybody off, of just randomly disappearing. He's an odd fellow. He's not necessarily like, I like odd fellow because sometimes we have guys who are like domestic abusers and worse things,
yes,
drunk drivers. He's not that. He's just kind of an odd guy. And so the Packers haven't been the best at managing their odd guys over the last several years. And some teams are better at it, honestly. Maybe he will fit in a little bit better on the Ravens than he did here.
Is odd guy another way of calling him an egomaniac? Because it sounds to me like the man's got an ego problem.
Yeah, everybody in football has an ego problem. It's probably a fair thing to say. But I think even amongst football players, he just is a little bit of a strange guy. And yeah, you get a lot of personalities, especially when you enter the big ego world of professional sports. Mm-hmm. You get weird people. It's a weird way to live. You're rich. You're better at this thing than anybody
else.
It's
one thing.
You're traveling all the time. It attracts an odd group. And Alexander is just in that group, and it's kind of unfortunate because he is very, very good when he's on the field. When he goes out there, he's one of the best corners in football. Did not mesh over the last couple of years. The other thing, the Packers don't really have stars in the defensive secondary, but they were quietly very good without him last year. And I think that also, if they were desperate, they probably would have found a way to get him back, but they're not. I think the outward look in for the Packers is they could use a few more corners. But even without any true star power, they were good. And Keyshawn Nixon, tags all of the like back-end analytics stats for being maybe much better than people think he is. So I think they think they're okay. They can live with this, and it's probably honestly better for everybody involved.
I don't know if this is the overall consensus amongst Packer fans, but I did see a tweet from the Baltimore Ravens where he was signing his contract, and it said something to the effect of, like, he's a Raven or he's ours, something like that. And I saw one of my friends just go, just says, bye.
We'll help you pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have fun out there.
Yeah. He's like, see you later. Good luck. Whatever. Yeah. Bye.
Good luck. See ya. The other thing, I'm so glad that we're going to talk about this because this has been my contention from the beginning. Aaron Rodgers made it up. Come on.
Allegedly.
This whole thing about Aaron Rodgers got married. Sure you did. You got pushed off the front pages when you joined the Steelers by some breaking news, and that hurt your little fifis. And so you had to come up with something to get yourself back in the spotlight. I think he made the whole thing up.
I mean, speaking of odd guys, first of all, the joke that everybody needs to be telling, of course, is that what he should have answered is, I've been eloped, when asked if he was.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so Aaron Rodgers shows up to the Steelers wearing a ring, and people ask him if he's married, and he says, yes, he got married. He's not disclosing who he got married to. And
oh, I thought her name was Brittany with an I.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. That's what I saw.
You're ahead of me, honestly. I've been busy, but there's no record of the marriage. So it's just Aaron Rodgers can't do anything normal, of course, including get married. And so it is just drawn him. I mean, he was already back on the front page a little bit with the Steelers signing in the first place. But
right.
This just pushes him right back to the forefront because now he gets celebrity press in addition to football press. And if there's nothing celebrity press loves more than trying to track down someone's secret/semi-secret
right.
maybe wife. Aaron, in a nutshell, just can't stay out of the limelight. He is not his own worst enemy because the only thing Aaron likes more than attention is money. And so when those two things are at stake, you will always be hearing about him.
And I didn't look because I was too – well, one, I really don't care that much about Aaron Rodgers. I just like they didn't get married in a courthouse. They got married in the Church of the Mind.
Oh, maybe an isolation tank somewhere, and they were both floating in salt water and exchanged their vows.
Quite possibly. I mean, I bet it was weird. I would love to know it's not weird, but I bet it was weird.
But the question I do have though is, what were the terms of the contract? Was it a 1 year contract?
It's 1 year, and it's not that much money. I can't remember the actual value. I think it was like 16. I do not have it off the
my
charts right now. But it was so it's not he's not getting paid like he was with the Jets and the Packers. He's always had very unreasonable contracts. I mean, when he was good, not unreasonable, but contracts that are difficult to escape. This is not that. This is like a 1 year and I might be done style contract, which is totally fine for Aaron, honestly. That's what he should have been getting for the last few years.
That's amazing to me that, like, you know, we'll take you. Because it just seems like the Steelers are doing we'll take you. And then on top of it, like, but we'll pay you $16 million, which when you look at, I don't know how he has spent his money. I have a feeling he's frugal and borderline cheap. But, I mean, over his career, which has been now 22 years, I think.
Yep.
He has made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money.
He's made just gobs. And I was close. My heuristic was an average. So he has $10 million guarantee. He can make. He's probably going to make something like $14 million, but he's got incentives that can push it up to like $18, $19 million. So $16 million is probably about right. So that's the ballpark.
Can I just say, I find it remarkable that when you're getting paid $10 million a year, you need incentives. I find that kind of astonishing. I don't know. If I was making $10 million a year, I think I would feel it incumbent upon me to bring my best every day, even though it's not $14 million.
Yeah, I agree with that. NFL contracts, though, are bizarre in another way, which leads to incentives a lot of the time, which is agents like to be able to advertise or have out there in the news that a guy got paid like a huge amount of money. And of course, teams don't like to pay a huge amount of money.
Right.
So they have a lot of ways of creating the legal fiction that you're getting paid a lot of money when you're really not. I mean, in the NFL, all that really matters is your guaranteed money and your signing bonus, because your the rest of your salary is not guaranteed. It's game check to game check. And if you don't play, you don't get paid. You can be cut for that. So incentives are just like the way that agents tack on to, like, oh, I got my guy signed for
this,
you know, 5 years and $200 million. Like, no, you didn't. You got him signed for like $80 million, but there's a bunch of incentives that he'll never meet in a million years. So that's kind of how that works.
That's something I like further down the road, like, we can have a conversation about that, because I never even knew that was a thing. I just figured when they I knew incentives, and I know that, you know, playoff bonuses and playoff wins and things, that you'll get more money. But I just figured when you saw, like, a, you know, so-and-so is getting $300 million to play for the baseball team, and they're like, is that what you're saying? Is that they're not actually getting $300 million, they're getting X amount, but with the possibility of $300 million?
Yes, in the NFL in particular. The NFL contracting system is weird. In baseball, you are getting everything that you're
getting. Okay, all right.
So those are very, very different ways of handing out contracts.
We are talking all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is here. Brewers got rained out yesterday when they tried to play the Cubs. Today they are back at it. Our broadcast starts at 12:45 if you want to listen to the game. But how is their new hot, super hot kid pitcher doing?
The Miz.
The Miz is great. I'm sad I did not get to go yet. I was in Wrigleyville. I was this close to being in the stadium yesterday, and until it got rained out, because I wanted to see Mizrowski in person. He is a phenomenal prospect, and he is not without his flaws. He did struggle a little bit with control coming up through the minors, but struggling a little bit with control for that guy is a very minor thing to overcome. He's thrown the hardest pitch in professional baseball, I think maybe ever, but certainly over the last decade. He threw 103 mile per hour fastball at AAA. He throws absolute gas. He honestly, with pitchers that throw as hard as Miz, you kind of worry because their elbows will explode at some point. And they kept him in the minors quite a while to gain an extra baseball service time manipulation garbage to try and get an extra year of cheap control out of him later. But he could have been in the majors at the start of the season. He is super fun to watch. He throws a 95 mile an hour like slider, a pitch that should be like 6, 7, 8 miles an hour slower than that. Throws a pretty good curveball. He's a giant man at 6'7".
Wow.
In addition to throwing harder than anybody else, his release point is so much further forward than every other pitcher that he creates by far the shortest amount of time you have to react to his fastball than any pitcher in baseball.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
The Brewers have become very good at creating flamethrowers down in the minors. They have the best pitching lab. Mizrowski is one of the best prospects to come out of it really ever. And that, you know, they've had Corbin Burns and Woodruff come out of it. Nobody's had the high-end talent that he has and still been able to maintain being a starter. They've had guys like Abner Uribe, who throws almost as hard, that haven't been able to maintain starting and had to go to the bullpen. This is the best chance they've had at a legitimate frontline stud in ages.
And he's a young man, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is. He is very, very young. Churio kind of messes up my who is young in baseball metrics. But yeah, he's just a kid out there.
He's a kid.
Because Churio is all of what, 21?
Just turned 21.
Yeah.
Time to retire. Yeah. Paul Noonan is with the Acme Packing Company, and we talk all things sports. Thank you so much, Paul. We will see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Stay with us when we return. We're to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Happy Trail Mix Edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise. There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is going again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
So squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on, 6 to 8 p.m., Nightlight with Pete Schwabe at 6:35. He's going to be joined by the guy behind Popcorn Pick of the Week, J.B. Thompson. So they're going to be talking movies. And at 7:20, Pete talks with Chelsea Tegetz Maris from Old World, Wisconsin. Calvin, that's kind of in your neck of the woods. Old World, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's right down the road from where I live.
If you haven't been, it's a great day trip. Take the kids.
I think I've been there.
Have you?
I think so. Maybe when I was
We need another road trip.
Another road trip.
Well, we got a long list
we're going
up.
After work today, we're leaving.
Peach Wawa and Nightlights weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Also, Civic Media's political editor, I'm sure. Among many other things, we will be talking about the state budget and where we are on that. Maybe we just don't need one.
Nah. Do you know what's happening next Monday?
What is happening next Monday?
We welcome our new guest on Mondays. Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman will be here weekly Mondays, 9:30 to 10, to talk about all the news that we may have missed over the weekend.
We have a great news department here at Civic Media. We really do. They're all over the state.
Yep.
And if you have the app,
yes,
you can actually curate the kind of news that you get from our news department. Mm-hmm. They're fabulous.
Yep.
And Charlie has joined us within, what, the last month or two as our news director here at Civic Media. Very much looking forward to having her join us.
Can't wait.
She's going to be joining us this coming Monday. Mm-hmm. We're going on, Calvin, just about 10:55, getting late. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays at civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press. Lucky Mark Scalforo with the byline. The headline reads, "Could you eat this much ice cream after walking 1,100 miles? Some Appalachian Trail hikers try it." This is apparently a thing. Sam Cooper had just trekked 7 miles on a stretch of the Appalachian Trail when he sat down outside a little country store in Pennsylvania to take on the ice cream challenge. So apparently it's not enough to hike the Appalachian Trail, which is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
But now you have to sit and you have to polish off a whole thing of ice cream before you've accomplished anything.
So wait. He hiked 7 miles.
He hiked 7 miles.
And then you do some ice cream.
And then, yes, nearly 40 minutes and 2,500 calories later, Mr. Cooper was polishing off the final sporkful of chocolate chip cookie dough and added his name to the list of through hikers who celebrated the halfway point of the Appalachian Trail by downing a half gallon of ice cream. So apparently when you're halfway through the Appalachian Trail, now in order to be one of the elite, you have to eat a half a gallon of ice cream.
Jane, let me tell you why chocolate chip cookie dough is a bad idea on this one. It's so filling, so filling. You want to keep it simple, like your chocolate, your vanilla, maybe even a Neapolitan, but not something with a lot of like additives in there. You don't want like
too heavy
elephant tracks or anything like that. Something so basically like a whole second dessert.
By the end of this experience, 32-year-old Sam Cooper, whose trail name, this is apparently a thing, you have to have a trail name. His trail name is Pie Top.
Hate that. Nope. Sorry.
He said the experience was pure misery. I don't think anybody should be doing this. This is not healthy at all.
Dear Mr. Top, was anyone lording over you with a weapon to your head? Did you have to do this?
The ice cream challenge is believed to have begun more than 40 years ago at some general store a few miles north of the halfway point on the Appalachian Trail. Through hikers, as they're called, are just a fraction of the amount of people who actually do this. Not everyone finishes the Appalachian Trail in one whole slog.
Yeah.
But as they slog their way through Northern Virginia and Maryland, the ice cream challenge, a regular topic among through hikers.
So wait a minute, really quick. So it's 1,100 miles,
mm-hmm.
which seems... a lot. It seems like it can be a lot. That can be a torture on your body. But somehow what's worse than that is having to eat ice cream. That is the real problem here. Not the rocky terrain and the uncertain weather, or maybe, oh my God, did my food make the post? No, it's man, I got to really down this. I got to really down.
Now the hard part of this thing
this
begins.
Mint chocolate chip.
49-year-old Stephen Behrens, who is a through hiker, his trail name is Speedy, polished off his black cherry and vanilla in about 25 minutes after going 17 miles on the trail that day, with 7 more to go. Trail experts say hikers can need up to 6,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Behrens said, "I thought it would be worse, but it's okay," after patting his stomach, finishing off the half gallon of ice cream. Such a crazy idea. Zeke Medock, trail name Petroglyph.
This is ridiculous.
It just seems so random. Bother timing himself, but did finish off the ice cream and said, now I'm done.
Yeah.
This is the most free I've ever felt.
Yep.
Okay. That wraps up today's edition of...
This shouldn't be
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
Is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump has set a new timeline for any potential U.S. action on Iran, which continues to exchange missile attacks with Israel. The White House says the president will make a decision within the next 2 weeks. ABC's Mary Bruce has more from the White House.
According to a source, the president is troubled by the deep divisions in his own party about what he should do, hold out for negotiations or join the attack. One key ally who's been urging restraint, Steve Bannon, spotted at the White House. One source telling us Trump is trying to psych himself up, convince himself that whatever he ultimately decides to do is warranted.
An appeals court Thursday allowing President Trump to keep control of National Guard troops he deployed to Los Angeles following protests over immigration raids. Hurricane Eric slamming Mexico's Pacific coast as a powerful Category 3 storm. It's the first hurricane to hit Mexico this year. This is ABC News. More than